Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th chapter, 7th canto, 2nd chapter, text 15. Hiranyakashipu, king of the demons. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Kechit Karnatrar Bibidu Setu Prakara Gopuran Ajivyans Chichidur Vrikshan Kechit Parashu Panaya Pradahan Saranyake Prajanang Jalitolmukai Kechit Kanitra Bibidu Setu Prakara Gopuran Ajivyang Chichidor Brikshan Kechit Prasupanayahan Pradahan Sananyake Prajanang Jalitolmukai Kechit. Some of the demons, can he try with digging instruments? Bibidu broke to pieces. Setu bridges. Prakara protective walls. Gopuran, city gates, Ajivyan, the source of livelihood, Chichidu, cut down, Brikshan, trees, Kechit, some, Parashupanayaha, taking axes in hand, Pradahan, burned down, Sharanani, the dwellings, Eke, other demons, Prajanam, of the citizens, Jwalita, blazing, Ulumukai, with firebrands. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Some of the demons took digging instruments and broke down the bridges, the protective walls, and the gates, gopuras, of the cities. Some took axes and began cutting the important trees that produced mango, jackfruit, and other sources of food. Some of the demons took firebrands and set fire to the residential quarters of the citizens. Purport. The cutting of trees is generally prohibited. In particular, trees that produce nice fruit for the maintenance of human society should not be cut. In different countries, there are different types of fruit trees. In India, the mango and jackfruit trees are prominent. And in other places, there are mango trees, jackfruit trees, coconut trees, and berry trees. Any tree that produces nice fruit for the maintenance of the people should not be cut at all. This is a Shastric injunction. Om Agyana Tamaranda Shaganjana Slakaya Chakshur Malitaminatas My Sugarve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Bhangum Langhai Degaram Yakripatamaham Bande Sugarum Niratanam. This particular verse with emphasis on the Shastric injunction of not cutting trees. So from a material point of view, trees are an impediment for development. So in Kali Yuga especially, and in developed countries, and now even in India, we see that for all types of development, and for producing grazing land so that they can have more cows and then slaughter more cows and accumulate more sinful activities. So all the forests are being very selectively cut. But here Srila Prabhupada gives not just a reason why we don't cut trees, shastrically. In a lecture in New York in 1973, he gave a very interesting footnote to this. Just prior to that, Prabhupada had become very disturbed when the temple president of the Dallas project, which was at that time a Gurukula, cut down a tree which was leaning on the Prasadam hall. So many devotees complained to the temple president that, oh, this is a danger. It's going to collapse the building. It was fully leaning on the building at a greater than 45 degree angle. And so, out of an abundance of caution, they cut the tree. And they only left the trunk still in the same position. So when Prabhupada visited the temple, he was visibly upset. He was walking around the grounds and he saw that and he said, who has done this? He walked off the path just to see the tree. He said, who has done this? So the temple president said, I have done it. He said, it should not have been cut. Why has it cut? So they gave the explanation. Because the tree was tilted, the roots were exposed, that it was going to die anyway. Prabhupada said, see, it is not dead. There was a green branch growing out of the trunk. It is not dead. It is not dying. So that was, he stayed upset like this for that whole day. But nothing more was said about it. But then in a lecture in New York, he elaborated, not on that specific issue, but again on the point of cutting trees. So nonviolence doesn't mean simply I don't kill a living entity. Obviously that everyone understands that. Ahimsa, even the Buddhists, ahimsa paro dharma. Nonviolence is the highest dharma. That's what they say. But why? Why isn't an animal killed? There is no great injunction there. So many different castes are killing animals. But the brahmanas are not going out and saying, stop killing that goat. I'm not saying. So why does a Vaishnav? Because he understands Vijavinaya Sampanye Brahma Gavani Hasani. He sees the soul. And more than seeing the soul, he understands that that soul is in that body for a particular reason. So Prabhupada explained, just like a man is sentenced to jail for 6 months, so he cannot come out, not even one day less. So when you disturb the progression of the living entity, whether he's in a tree body or a cow body or a mosquito body, he again has to go back and pick up exactly where he left off. Because you have interrupted his progress. He has to fulfill his sentence. So this is violence. You've basically interrupted his progress on the path of elevation to a body suitable for self-realization. It's just like if everyone was kept in ignorance. Even though you know the truth, but you keep everyone in ignorance, that's violence. It is not that I have to kill a person or draw blood. Avidya. This is also violence. So anyway, that was a very clear point. We don't, which is why it's important to supplement reading Srila Prabhupada's books with either listening or reading the transcripts of his morning walks, his lectures, his room conversations. From such room conversations in that same year, 1973, in April, Prabhupada gave a series of morning walks. It wasn't a series at the time. It was just a morning walk. But it became famous as Life Comes from Life. So if anyone has read Life Comes from Life, this is Srila Prabhupada speaking from his realization. You see so many people, they have to sit down and they have to flip through their notes and they have to refer to this and they have to refer to that. Prabhupada is on a morning walk with the disciples and Swarup Damodar and others are posing questions. And Prabhupada is just answering with this encyclopedic knowledge. And this is how we can understand the purport of such verses, that one who has implicit faith in the spiritual master and Krishna, all the imports, purports of the Vedic literature are automatically revealed. Prabhupada said, this is only by revelation. It is not by my intellectual manipulation that somehow or other I can combine these thoughts and regurgitate them. There are people, they practice, they have such clubs, they practice giving speeches for public speaking, and they go around and they speak about this topic, they speak about that topic, but they have to study the topic. And we also have to study, we have to read. But it is not this, just like in the beginning of the Bhagavatam class, Prabhupada said, why do we chant the shloka? He said, 10 times. So because 10 times, it remains in the memory. So everything was done for a reason. So we're reading, we're hearing, we're chanting, we're listening, so many things. But without this, the catalyst of practical devotional service, without the contact of the pure devotee through his books, through his lectures, through his sincere followers, then this realization does not take place. Why does it say, sadhu sangha, sava sastrakoi, lava matra? What? How is that one moment's association? How can one moment's association, if I bump into the president of any country, what will that one moment's association do for me? Nothing. Maybe get me in jail if I bump into him. Otherwise, there's no benefit. There's no benefit. Materially, some people are always trying to pose. I think everyone has these different apps, and they're taking selfies, and they're doing Snapchat, and they're doing Instagram, and so many other things. And we have a policy here, no self, no selfies. People want to take a picture with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They turn your backs to the deities and they take a photo. Where is the consciousness? Where is the understanding? I'm turning my back on Krishna. No one would be foolish enough to turn his back on some dangerous animal. I mean, everyone knows that. You never show your back to the enemy. It's a foolish thing to do. You know? Immediate, there's some danger. Like that. So what is the danger if we turn our back on Krishna? Or if we ignore the orders of the spiritual master? We have to understand why he's telling us that not to cut a tree or not to kill an animal, even an insect. Because he has to take birth again in that same body to complete the time. You know, for some insects, Prabhupada said everything is relative. We're thinking, oh, this insect only lives for 24 hours anyway. What's the big deal? But for him, that 24 hours is 100 years. Because everything is relative. Just like Lord Brahma, his one moment, 1/11th of a second, is our 1 year. 1 year. When he hit the cowherd boys, and he came back in a moment to see what he had done, he was very proud of himself. He's thinking, I will interrupt this pastime. What will Krishna do? But what did Krishna do? He manifested himself as all the cows and cowherd boys. And for 1 year, everyone had the direct association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And their affection increased exponentially. But they didn't know why. For them, it was the same cows, the same sons. But somehow or other, their relationship had increased. Because it was Krishna taking the place of their son, taking the place of their calf. And then when Lord Brahma came back, Prabhupada says in the Krishna book, he said, just one moment he came back, but 1 year had passed. One full year. So this is the difference between the time, and just see how scientific that at the time of this Bhagavad Purana, their estimation of its compilation 5,000 years ago, the theory of relativity is perfectly explained. But who is understanding? Who could understand? But now the scientists know, because they've observed the movements of the planets, and they see that on a planet like Jupiter, one day is 36 years. That's how long it takes to go, what they think, to go around the sun. So what to speak of the demigods? 1/11th of a second is 1 year for us. So it's, of course, there has to be, the best way to read is in the association of devotees. Then the full nectar is there, because there's an exchange on different levels. This Tushanti Charamanti Cha doesn't come by some, again, artificial gathering. There has to be that great eagerness, that intense hankering to associate. The Brahmacharya Ashram is specifically meant for this. Brahmachari, Brahmacharini. In the beginning, to form those lasting bonds of friendship, where one is only hearing and chanting about Krishna, only serving Krishna. He has no other business. He's not entangled in household life yet. He's living in the house of the spiritual master. Everything is in relationship to the spiritual master and Krishna. Everything he does, he's only cooking for Krishna, cleaning for Krishna, dressing Krishna, seeing Krishna, distributing books for Krishna. So Prabhupada joked in Mayapur one time, 1976. So all the Radha Damodar parties were there. And I forget the exact point. But he emphasized that, so better to remain brahmachari. Of course, there were 100, 200 plus brahmacharis in the audience at that time. But he was telling them very clearly that better to remain brahmachari. If one can do it. If one can do it. And then he said, if one wants to become a grahastha, he has to increase his service. He has to increase his service. Not that now I'm a grahastha, I get a break. In those days, actually, and I've said this before, but Vrindavan is a special place. You can say it again. Because the instructions are there. When we lived in the temple in those days, grahasthas did not live together. Prabhupada said grahastha brahmachari. That was his term, grahastha brahmachari. The ladies lived in the dharmshala, interior rooms of the guest house, or the goshala. If they were household couples, if they were living together, they lived in the goshala. Otherwise here, men lived in the brahmachari ashram, ladies lived in the guest house. It is not an artificial thing. Human life is not meant for attachment to comfort. It is meant for austerity. It's meant for tapasya. Prabhupada said, austerity is the wealth of the brahmanas. So what does that mean? We see so many brahmanas now, they're not interested in that type of wealth. They're only building big, big buildings. How can I make money? How can I make money? They have a joke in some circles that they're not chanting Hare Krishna. They're chanting money ram, money ram, money ram, money ram. Like this. Jai Shri Shri Gaunitaya. Jai Shri Shri Shama Sundaya. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Bhavan. All of these original temples that Srila Prabhupada established are meant to be the highest example of what Srila Prabhupada declared as this Daivi Varnashram. The concept is there. We know what is required. We only have to take it seriously. As soon as one begins to think of anything other than the mission of the spiritual master, he is imperceptibly drifting off course. He may not notice. It's like if you, anyone who's been in the Navy, who's been on ships, they know the difference 1 degree makes in your course. If I need to set a heading, I need to keep on that heading. There is constant adjustment required due to wind, due to ocean currents, due to so many things. But if I let just 1 degree deviate, 1 degree over 1,000 miles is 1,000 miles. You're no longer on that path, Ekeha Kuru Nandana. Now you're here. It was just a little deviation, just a little. But after 1 or 2 years, I'm not chanting all my rounds. I'm in total anxiety. I've got so many bills. I've got mortgage payments. I've got car payments, insurance payments, medical health payments. What happened? What happened? It was just a 1 degree deviation. Because the focus was not there. And just like if you're aiming at a target, you have to keep your eye on the target. Can I close your eyes and pull the trigger? Unless you're a magician. You have to see the target. Arjuna, when he was in the Swayamvara and he took aim, what do you see? He didn't see the wheel, he didn't see the fish. What did he see? He just saw the eye. Just the eye. Nothing else. That's focus. And whatever he saw, or whatever you see, you can hit. You can achieve. But you have to see it. You have to visualize it. But if you're visualizing down the road, I'm going to be a Karopati, this is already developing a different mentality. This is not Madmanabhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskaru. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me. No, now it's Ishwarahamaham Bogi Siddham Balavan Sukhi. I am the controller. You know, Ishwarahamaham Bogi, I am the enjoyer. I am perfect, powerful, and happy. What happened? Where did my devotion go? So we should not think that there's some shortcut, that let me make it more comfortable, that I'm brahmachari now, but if I become grihastha now, I will have a soft bed. You know, in the brahmachari ashram, we used to sleep only on chatai. No cushion, nothing. Just chatai. In the hot summer up on the Gurukul roof, because the rooms were too hot. Could not sleep in the room. You had to go to the roof. And even the roof was too hot. You had to pour water on the roof to make it cool. Then you could put the chitai down. Still it was hot. Then you had to dip your dhoti in a bucket of water and throw the wet dhoti over you. And then there was a little relief for 10 or 15 minutes. But if you're thinking in that situation, oh, I need to get become a grihastha because, you know, now I can have an AC room or I can have whatever. This is the trap. This is Maya putting all these little seeds in your mind again. They're already there since time immemorial. How many times we've been in this human form of life? How many times we've been in whatever? Always looking to adjust our circumstances for maximum comfort. But that was not Srila Prabhupada's mood. His mood was minimum words, maximum effect. Heroes don't speak much. Be convinced about the philosophy. Speak to others who are convinced about the philosophy. Don't go seeking some alternative understanding. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the Amala Puranam. It is a spotless Puranam. There is no fault in it whatsoever. And anyone who reads Srimad Bhagavatam, he knows. No one has to tell him. I don't have to tell you, oh, you know, that this is a perfect thing. If you read it, you understand. Just like if you taste a mango, you know it's delicious. Nobody has to tell you it's delicious. This is Raja Vidya Raja Guyam Pavitram Yidamutamam Pratyaksa Vagamam Dharmyam Susukam Katama. It is practically realized. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. There is no other opportunity now in the human form of life to get this great benediction. Prabhupada expended so much of his life's energy just to bring this to us. Bring this to the whole world. We just few fortunate souls now, we can take advantage. But unless we have in mind, just like you see, they have this Olympics, and they light the torch in one place, and then they have a marathon, and they bring the torch from one city to one state to another place, like this, all around the world. So Prabhupada has passed this torchlight of knowledge. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranavitam Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. He's opened our eyes with it, and now he's given it to us. And now it is our duty to pass that torch. We have to bring it to every town and village. It is not an option. And if you want an option, then technically you're in the wrong movement. Because we have a duty. We joined, it's just like in the military. There are different separate divisions, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Army, like this. Each one has a different mission. So there are other missions. But Srila Prabhupada's mission is one. And he's training, you can say, like special forces. He is the commander, the chief commander, the commander-in-chief, Senapati Bhakt. And we have to take this on a war footing, not some complacent, oh, we have time. There is no time. If someone is thinking there's time, then I can tell you, when I joined, I was 23. Now I'm 66. Okay, the time is like this. It's gone. What do you do with that time? You can never purchase it 1 second. For all the gold in the world, you cannot purchase back 1 second. So don't waste time. Whatever you can do to push on Srila Prabhupada's movement, that must be done. Everyone has a particular proclivity. Someone may want to dovetail his propensity. He has some talent. Yes, by all means, dovetail that propensity. Use it in Krishna's service. That makes it perfect. But the most important thing is to pass on the torch. In our case, it's preaching. And it is not this, some people say, I don't want to bother people. I don't want to, get in people's faces. You don't have to get in anyone's face to preach. Our first preaching is we try to, Prabhupada said, act like gentlemen and gentle ladies. That's the first preaching. We act properly. This is sadachar. We act properly in all circumstances, regardless of the situation. Someone's getting very angry at us on Sankirtan, we don't get angry back. What is the point of anger? Prabhupada said that for a Brahmin to fall down to anger is worse than to fall down to sex life. Because falling down to anger, one loses all his intelligence. And what everyone knows, from the loss of intelligence, everything is lost. Everything is lost. So proper behavior. You meet someone. I'm sure it's a common thing when we were on Sankirtan to pass the time, because you're approaching people. Sometimes you were in one spot. Sankirtan leader would drop you off in a van. He would put you down in the middle of nowhere, the box of books. Sometimes at a stoplight or a crosswalk, whatever. And during different times of the day, there's no traffic. But you can't go anyplace. So what do? You pass the time thinking, what will I say to the next person? What if I meet a certain type of person? What will I say in response to his questions? Do I have the answers to all his questions? How can I give him just what he needs to hear? So you rehearse hypothetical conversations in different circumstances. How would I speak? One common thing that we always used to think is, what do I say to the policeman when he comes and he asks me, why am I standing on this corner? And I say, I'm here on behalf of my spiritual master. We're distributing this transcendental literature. And he says, you don't have a permit. I don't know about that, but what we're doing is trying to bring the highest pleasure to these very hurried individuals who have no chance to hear about the message of Godhead. And we're just trying to give them a little nectar in their day, somehow or other. And that it doesn't always work. Sometimes the policeman says you have to leave. We will walk around the block and wait for them to leave and then go back. That's what to do. We had a mission. Sometimes you have to be a little sneaky on the mission. Avoid the enemy. Not that the police were the enemy, but they're doing their duty and we're doing our duty. So now everyone knows why we don't cut trees. Right? And another reason, of course, it's always a strategy. We have big trees in front of the temple. Sometimes people say, you should cut that tree down. It blocks the view of the temple from outside. But who's on that side looking at the temple? If you're standing across the street having a lassi or the shopwala, whose view is impeded? They're saying, you should cut this tree down. But that tree has saved our perimeter boundary on more than one occasion. Because even the Nagarpalik, even the Public Works Department, the PWD, they won't cut a tree under most circumstances. They will. But even they think twice. So at one point we planted a lot of trees along the side, and the PWD thought in their mind, these guys, they think they're very smart. So they came one night and they pulled all the trees out that we planted. I say, no, once we put those trees and they grow, no one can take down that wall. So we used to have this engagement with the Nagar, the different, the MVDA, Mayapur Vrindavan Development Authority, not to encroach on the temple grounds. Any questions, comments? Dharma? I saw you. You had your...
Anybody have
Mike,
a question?
Mike, yes, Mike. Prabhuji.
One time, Prabhupada was at morning walk from the Sahaba then. And Prabhupada said they are growing these rubber trees. Mm. So we can comment on that? Rubber trees.
Rubber trees in Malaysia? I don't know that specific instance. But Prabhupada was not keen. There are some trees which are not producing fruits, which have no value. And rubber, we know, what do they use it for? Making factories. When he would drive on National Highway in those days, big landmark. You come into Faridabad, there was big, big, what was that, Firestone or Goodyear, some tire manufacturer. Very bad smell. But such nasty, no one wanted to live in such a place. Faridabad was like hell on earth. All industry, all nasty, all factories. This was just the beginning. Now it is even worse in many places. So rubber and things like that, they're not specifically useful in Vedic culture, but obviously very useful in material situations. But if it can be used in Krishna service, we can use. But food trees, those things which feed human beings and animals, those are the trees that you want to plant. Why would I plant a tree? Some people say, oh, this is a nice tree. But what does it do? If it doesn't even produce flowers, and they're thinking, I'll just plant, like in America, many people plant trees just to cut them down. These tall pine trees. They make so many utility poles for hanging electric lines. So they plant trees, and after 20 years, they cut everything down. And they make it into paper. Prabhupada commented on paper. He said, they're killing all these trees just to make paper for these useless newspapers. So what a waste that is. We all know the value of newspapers. News one day, next day for wrapping some garbage. All right, so it's useless. So we want to plant those things which can provide sustenance for the living entities. Mother Earth has given us so much facility, you know, but we shouldn't waste it. You see, in certain countries, they, like I said, they burn everything just to get grazing land so they can put animals, just so they can slaughter them and then satisfy their palates. And they don't understand this, the inevitable consequences of this law of karma. So it is our duty to educate them, to give them this knowledge. By giving them a book, our 3 minutes conversation won't do much. I can talk till I'm blue in the face, and some people won't. But if they get Prabhupada's books and they see things in context, the light bulb goes off in their head. It says, oh, now I understand. Now I understand. Vijavinaya sampanye brahma gavani hasini. I didn't know. I didn't know that the soul is in every living entity. I thought the soul was only in human beings. Even now they don't understand. More and more they have this idea that until the baby is born, they say there's no soul. But how the baby is growing in the womb, they have no knowledge, no intelligence. Matter does not expand except on contact with spirit. A dead baby does not grow in the womb. Stillborn means stillborn. The soul left and it stopped its growth, and therefore it's stillborn. Up to that point, it was expanding. It was growing. And if it continues to grow, it will take birth. But from the time of conception, the soul is there. Otherwise, nothing takes place. Life comes from life. Life does not come from matter. So these important things, they can understand. And immediately, if someone understands like this, then they're no longer subjected to this sinful consciousness that I should just kill anything and everything for my self-satisfaction. You know, up to, what does it say in the Bhagavatam, that in the end of Kali Yuga, the human species, they will be having children just to eat them. They won't even be aborting them. They'll be having them just to eat them. So this is demoniac. And they don't know. To the extent that they minimize the value of life, now they say abortion. They use abortion. Just like those who are hardcore vegans, like my daughter, they always have a bumper sticker that says, "Meat is murder." But many of her friends would never put a bumper sticker that said, "Abortion is murder." They wouldn't do it. They'll go on and on how we shouldn't drink milk, we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that, and that's fine. I tell her, come to Vrindavan, we have plenty of ahimsa milk. And you can enjoy milk to your heart's content, because our cows will never be slaughtered. That means ahimsa. That's ahimsa milk. But they will never put that sticker, abortion is murder, on the back of their car. And if you even suggest it, they become so enraged. But yes, abortion is murder. Say it clearly. And if that's what you want to do, fine. Then accept the sinful reaction. Don't try to justify it by some word jugglery that this is just a lump of cells or this is a pregnancy termination. So many things. So yours, if I say I can justify your murder by saying, yes, this is just pre-death termination. I'm saving the world some oxygen, you know. You're breathing too much, so, you know, save some for the next person. Sacrifice your life, and I'll help you. So they have so many things like that. And actually, some people think like that. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, you said Prabhupada said that for Brahmana to fall down to anger is even worse than falling down
to sex life.
So that was very nice, and because then he loses all his
intelligence.
So like that, every now and then, means we hear Prabhupada Katha, we get very nice important points from Prabhupada about what is your suggestion about developing. Means I want to know all these kind of things what Prabhupada said. So how can I know?
You have to simply take the time, make the time. Sometimes someone is saying, I don't have time, I don't have time, I can't read, I can't. You, when someone said that to Prabhupada, he said, eat less and sleep less. Eat less and sleep less. Sometimes we're spending too much time. You see, you do this, you do that. As a brahmachari, life is simple. I go to the Balakrishna Hall and I take prasadam. Half an hour, I'm finished. Okay, no fuss, no muss. I don't have to spend time preparing everything. Or unless you're an expert cook, like some devotees, who know how to do a thing like this and do it quickly anyway. The same. When Prabhupada said, minimum words, maximum effect, that applies to other things, like economy of time. Knowing how to, what was his definition of expert? A person is expert who can do things quickly and efficiently. You have to remember these things. If you listen to Prabhupada, you'll hear these things. Definition of expert, who can do things quickly and efficiently. So many Prabhupada's morning walks, you're there with Prabhupada. When we were young devotees, we didn't get a chance because we were new men. Even if you were a new man and you got to the morning walk, you were in the back, you couldn't hear anything. Prabhupada's in the front with all the sannyasis and the big guns. But now anybody can hear Prabhupada's morning walks. Even those who were there and couldn't hear them at the time. So it doesn't do any good to say, I was on a morning walk with Prabhupada, if I didn't hear anything Prabhupada said. What's the point? It's like saying, I was with the Prime Minister of India. You know, I was 300 feet behind. What is that? It's like that Gopal Bhand story. Everybody knows that Gopal Bhand story? About the cooking pot and the candle. Everybody must know. There was one contest. One poor man, he wanted to. He had so many things. You know, when in India you have daughters, you have to have dowry. He had no money. So he heard that there was some competition. The king had offered some prize money. Who could stay in this water during this cold time, up to his neck all night? Who could stay like that? The king would give some purse. Purse means some prize. So this man did, many did, but he was the only one who remained all night like this. So when he came out, but the minister of the king who saw this, he was envious. So when he came out to claim his purse, the minister advised the king, no, you can't give to him. Because he was cheating. And the king said, how he was cheating? He was up to his neck in water. We had so many people watching. How he was cheating. Said he was taking heat from that lamp that was over there on the top of that temple, just like Radha Govinda Mandir used to be 7 stories. And Aurangzeb became so envious. Why? Because they used to burn ghee. Huge lamp could be seen, Agra is 60 kilometers. He could see it from Agra. This fire burning. So he came and he cut off the top levels. So like this, the minister was saying to the king that no, he was taking heat from that fire. So the man felt completely cheated. And he went back and he told Gopal Bhand. Gopal Bhand says, Chinta mat karo, kusuho. He said, Chinta mat karo, don't worry. So Gopal Bhand gave an idea to the king. Such and such holiday is coming. We should have a big feast. And I'll prepare. I'll make all the arrangements. You only have to invite all these heads of state, big, big people, coming from all around. And when they come, they don't come alone. They come with huge retinue. Thousands of soldiers and courtiers and servants. And so they're all camped. Because the kings kept big gardens outside their cities, and they were all camped there. And so there's a special area set up to make the kitchen. And the time for everyone comes now, they've rested for the evening, everyone prepares for the feast, and everyone comes and sits. And the king sends someone to see Gopal Bhand and say, when will it be ready? And Gopal Bhand, what does he say? He says, just now coming. So, okay, in India, just now coming means a little while. So after some time, again the king sent his servant. Says, people are getting impatient, they're hungry, they've traveled great distance. When? No. It's coming. It's cooking. Servant went back again. By now, hours have passed. Hours. You can just imagine. We have such difficulty sometimes when the feast comes and everyone, there's not enough buckets to go for each row and you have to wait for them to come all the way around. Where's the Paneer Sabji? Where's this? So they're waiting. So finally the king is so upset he goes himself. And he because there's a gate to protect the kitchen. He knocks in the gate. Gopal Bhan opens the gate. Only his head comes. And he says, "What do you want?" He says, "When is it going to be ready?" He says, "It's cooking. It's cooking." He says, the king demands, says, "What do you mean it's cooking? I want to see. What is..." And he pushes the door open and he looks inside and he sees that there's this pot hung from a rope, from a tree limb, high up. And at the very bottom, 20 feet below, there's a candle. The pot is 20 feet and the candle is here. And the king says, "What are you doing? You can't cook like that. It will never get the heat there." And then Gopal Bhan says, "Aha. Now you understand." And immediately the king realized that by listening to that crooked minister, that he had cheated that man. But he was so concerned to save the money that he was willing to accept some false premise. So many people are accepting false premise. Trust no future, however pleasant. Prabhupada used to quote Shakespeare frequently. Like a post-dated check. "My good man, I need you to do this for me now, and I will pay you sometime in the future." Only a fool will take that promise. But there are many fools. So we have to be very careful in the material world not to get cheated. Any other questions, comments? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.